How's everybody doing tonight? You happy to be in church? I'm excited. I got a seat. Thank you, sir. We are in week two of Home Improvement. All right. I guess that's as many people as were excited about last week's message. Yeah, I see you over there. Great. Thank you so much. No, but this series is all about improving the culture of your home. That's what Home Improvement is all about, making sure that in our homes, or it's based on the scripture from Joshua 24. It says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So in your homes or in your temples, that's you, that you're going to be serving the Lord. We're hoping to improve your lives through this series because we want to build homes that last. We want to build homes of legacy. We want to make an impact in this world. We want to do something important with our lives, right? How many of you identify with that? You want to do something important. How many families in here, you want to leave a legacy? You want to have leave your mark on the world, right? We want to do something for the kingdom. So we're making homes that serve the Lord. Last week, we talked about blueprints. Now, blueprints are the key to starting the foundation. What's the better way to say that? Yeah, the key to starting building a house. That's why I had Eddie explain what blueprints are, because I obviously can't. But blueprints, basically, they're like little things you write up, and you can build a house based off them, right? You guys know what blueprints are. We talked about blueprints of your homes. We all have blueprints that we're living by, blueprints that we built our lives by, established our current homes by. And sometimes those blueprints, they don't produce houses that bear fruit. They don't produce good things, right? Sometimes these blueprints, they've been faulty. They don't work out. They may look good on paper, but when they got constructed together, there are some things that didn't seem right. So we talked about revising your blueprints to be in line with the Word of God. Because Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and does them, I liken them to the man who built his house on the rock, right? So we talked about building your lives, basing your blueprints off of the Word of God. And tonight, we're going to be moving on to construction. Who's excited for that? Construction, right? But before you get to construction, you're going to have some demolition. And that's really what we're going to be focusing on tonight, is demolishing the old man. So if you're taking notes tonight, you can go ahead and write that at the top of your little notebooks. Demolishing the old man. I want to encourage you guys tonight, though, that we may say some harsh things to you, so don't take them personally. They're supposed to call you to a higher level, not beat you over the head and make you feel like, oh man, I really screwed up. So just be encouraged tonight. Feel convicted, not condemned. And I encourage you, if you're listening with your family tonight, listen for yourselves, because this message is really about you. It's individually focused. It's not about necessarily your family unit. It's about you individually. So don't be listening for your neighbor. Don't be listening for your... You know, I'm not listening for my mom and dad. I'm speaking. But, listen for yourselves and let this make an impact in your life. So, starting off tonight, demolition. What you got?
Yeah, just to echo a little bit about what Grayson says, so many times in our families, in our family cultures, we see there's a problem. We see that there may be patterns that are going on, some things that need to be changed. How many of you in your family or in your individual life, you recognize that there are things that need to be changed? Just, okay. No, so just a couple of perfect people in here. Good. All right. So if we recognize that, I think a lot of times what we begin to do is we begin to project the blame onto the other people around us. Anybody a blame shifter? Okay, nobody's gonna admit to that either. I'm just not gonna ask you to raise your hand for anything else during the rest of the
service. This is your fault that they're not participating. You were supposed to make them participate. It's not my fault.
Sorry, man. Stop blaming me. Stop blaming me for all your problems. Good example there. I see what you did there. You made me lose my train of thought is what you did. How dare you? You always do that, Grayson, every single time. Okay, we can really dramatize this thing. But that's what happens in our families, isn't it? We tend to blame somebody else for the culture in our home, for the things that need to be changed. Well, it's your fault that this isn't working. It's your fault that there's no peace in the home. It's your fault that there's lack in the home. It's your fault that things aren't going right. It's your fault that things are screwed up. And I urge you tonight to take that finger that you've been pointing at other people and recognize that there are three other fingers and a crooked thumb pointing back at yourself. You do that? Yeah. Pointing back at yourself, recognize that you are the one that needs to change. Okay? So instead of praying, God change my mom, God change my dad, God change my spouse, say, God change me. Can we just say that tonight? God change me.
God change me.
I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to change.
And so before we change, we have to recognize that construction begins with demolition. Before we begin to build something up, we first of all have to tear something down. A few years ago, we embarked on a project at our old home. Now we're in a new home. But at our old home, we embarked on this project to renovate our downstairs bathroom. Now, our house was built in 1990, and so it was dated when we moved into the house. Wallpaper all over the walls and, you know, like granny fixtures. There you go, blaming all the grannies for all the fixtures in the house. But things needed to be changed. There were things that didn't fit us, our family and our culture, the things that we wanted to set a foundation for. And so we said, well, one thing that needs to be changed after we've painted everything is we want to change this bathroom. And so we hired a contractor, a construction guy, and we brought him in and we said, okay, change the bathroom. He said, well, before we change everything in the bathroom, you can't just, you know, slap a Band-Aid on something. You can't just change one fixture here or there. But if you really want to renovate this thing, we're going to have to do some demolition. So here's what I did. I got out my hard hat, okay, and a sledgehammer. Oh, yeah. And some caution tape. No, we didn't have the caution tape. But demolition is fun, right? You guys have seen the home improvement shows, Extreme Home Makeover, Extreme Makeover Home Edition. You guys have seen that, right? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, you're good. All right.
This is Demolition Dan, by the way.
This is Demo Dan right here. Coming to you live from Good News Church, Midweek Boost. Demo Dan. So, demolition is fun, though. Everybody wants to get in on the demolition. They actually, if you go to, like, county fairs and different things, school pep rallies and whatnot, they'll get, like, the old car out, you know, and for a dollar you can take three whacks at the car, put on the protective gear, and then swing away to your heart's content, because we love destroying things, don't we? Man, you guys are a tough crowd tonight. I'm telling you that, man. Not rhetorical questions. What did you do while we were gone, man? We like destroying things. So you see people on these shows, the Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and you see everybody wants to get their hand in, like, tearing stuff up. And so I wanted to get involved in that, like, tear down the walls. You know, and we took down everything. We tore down the cabinet. We took out the bathtub and the shower. We took out the toilet, you know, and smashed that thing to smithereens. And it was fun. It was fun. But it's also dangerous, isn't it? Because I believe you have to, if you're going to be doing some demoing, you've got to protect your head, because your noggin's important, right? You've got to protect your hands. You wear some gloves. You may want to get, like, a vest on, protect your vital organs. Protect yourself. But demolition is fun. So before we could build, we had to demolish. And that's exactly what needs to happen in each of our own lives. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, we'll put this on the screen in verse 17, Ephesians 4:17, in the Message translation, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you." Say, "That's no life for me." "You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you." Amen. So before we begin to build on a foundation, before we get our blueprints out and we look at what we're going to build, we have to destroy the old man. We have to demolish the old man. We have to realize that there are some patterns, there are some ways of thinking, there are some behaviors that aren't conducive to living this new life in Christ. We moved into a new house, and, you know, some things still need to be repaired because, like, you live in this world and things start to break down and tear. And so there's one door, the back door, that's got this rotten wood on it. Anybody have rotten wood at your house? Ah, did it again. Asking you questions you won't answer. It's supposed to be real talk, a candid conversation about home improvement. I'll just talk to you. You got rotten wood at your house?
I do, Nate.
Maybe some wood with mold on it.
I do have mold.
Some stuff that, like, would be really nice if it were fixed.
Yes.
Okay. So what's taking place? And we had a guy over at the house this morning, and I showed him some rotten wood at the house. I said, hey, man, can you fix this? And he began to kind of poke and prod at the wood that was there. And he found out something about this wood, that it wasn't just rotted. It wasn't that termites had got into it. It had water damage, but the previous homeowners had tried to repair it, and they put Bondo on it. You guys know what Bondo is? Like, you're supposed to use that for cars, right? I mean, I'm no mechanic or body shop guy, but Bondo is made for vehicles. And so they tried to repair this wood with Bondo and paint over it, and do kind of a patch job on it. And sometimes I think that's what we try to do with our lives. We try to put a patch on some old ways of thinking. Oh, I could think better. And we just try to put a Band-Aid on some old habits, or pretend that we're going to do better, or pretend to everybody else that everything's changed, but nothing really has changed on the inside. And Paul is saying, look, man, the old way of life has to go. It's rotten. You don't put a Band-Aid on it. You don't patch it with Bondo. It doesn't even work. Replace it, tear it down, and get rid of it.
Yeah. So we have this old man that we're demoing, right? Okay. We have this old man, this old sinful nature, this old former ways of doing things. And the problem a lot of the times is that people don't even recognize the old man because we're so used to it. We're so accustomed to it. We're born into this world. We're born into the way that seems right to a man. We're born into this natural action of things. And we get kind of caught up in it. We get swept up in it. This is what you're supposed to do. This is the old man. This is how you respond in this situation. This is how you respond in that situation. The old man rules and reigns, right? But we're going to identify the old man. Who's ready to identify the old man? This starts in Colossians 3. And I think we'll start in verse 7. I'm not entirely sure about this reference, but I have the scripture printed out. And it says, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. Boom, I was right. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So what does it tell us here, right? It defines this old man. It goes through a list of things, right? And so many times with the old man, what do? We like to identify behaviors. We identify these actions, these different things, right? It says here, the first things, it says anger, rage, malicious behavior, right? All those things we can pinpoint and say, yeah, that's the old man. Yeah, that's the different stuff. But really, that is not the old man. That's the actions of the old man. That's what the old man does, but that's not who the old man is. The old man is the rotten way of thinking that you have. The old man is the old sinful nature that tries to creep back on you even though you're in Christ. That's the old man. That's what we're dealing with. And you can't just address the behavior. You can't just address the fact that the door looks like it's falling apart, so I'm going to put some Bondo on it. What happens eventually? It's going to crack again. It's going to fall off again. You can't just address the behavior. You have to address the problem. You got to tear down the old man. So, what does that mean? What does that mean for you and me? Does it mean that if I have anger, if I have this thing and I'm getting angry all the time and I'm getting frustrated in my home all the time, right? What does that mean? Do I just stop being angry? How do I do that? Right? No, we address the source of our anger. Is it selfishness? Is it a need to get my own way? Is it a need to have it always go right for me, to be fair all the time? Right? We have a source of it, not the actual product. Because if you're dealing with the outcome over and over and over again, the old man's still going to live there, and he's going to find a way to creep back in time and time again. But we're not doing that. What are we doing? Demolishing the old man. I was looking for somebody to scream that, but I was like, they don't know what to say. We're demolishing the old man. We're taking that out. Yeah, demolish. That's what we're doing. Demolishing the old man. So, we're taking away that old system of things, and we're putting on the new man. Now, what does the new man look like? Again, it has a set of behaviors that go with it. If you want to really see what the new man looks like, it's found in the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's these things, again, right? It's these behaviors. It's these qualities, these characteristics. But who is the new man? The new man is who Christ on the inside of you is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's who the new man is. So you can pretend to have self-control. You can pretend to be nice. You can bite your tongue, different things like that. But if you never put on the new man, if you never identify with Christ, if you just try to replicate the actions, then the new man will never be constructed. And ultimately, that too will crumble. That too will fall apart. So, what does Christ look like? What is this? What's the picture? What's the qualities? What's the characteristics? How do we know what we're going for? Well, really, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, right? He came to show people the heart of the Father. And who is God? God is love. Love. So I think a good place to start with putting on the new man, to put on love. That's who you are, first and foremost. So many times we look at Jesus and think he was different. He had some special thing. The way that he could respond with such grace is because, you know, he's God. He is the Holy Spirit on the inside. Right? We say this different stuff like this. But Jesus, it's not even that he was like some divine power that made him so different. It's that he responded with love. Because Jesus was love. Jesus was love. Jesus, yeah, he had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him just like you and I do. But he was love. He was love personified, which is a fancy word for made flesh. He was love. Yeah. And so I want to read this to you in the New Living Translation. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. And I want you to look at this as a way, look at this as a blueprint, right? This is what, not a blueprint, look at it as the picture of the new man. This is what you should look like in your homes, in your houses, everything. It says, love is patient and kind. How many of you have been described as patient and kind this week at home? How many of you is patient and kind like the two first words that people say about you? Oh, that Grayson guy, he's so patient. Oh, Grayson, he's just so kind, right? No, they say Grayson's hot, right? No, I'm joking, no, too far. No, I'm joking. No. I have a girlfriend now. I can't say that stuff. No, I don't know, maybe I can, I don't know. Anyway, love is patient, love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud, right? We have these qualities, these characteristics. How many times do we move out of jealousy? How many times do we move out of what's going to make us look good? Boastful, right? Proud. What are the things that are going to make us look like we have it all together? Oh, it gets better, guys. Listen to this one. This is about to challenge your way of thinking. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. How many of you guys' houses would be just so much better if nobody was irritable? Like, if nobody was irritable, just a little thing set us off. It's so, so weird. Me, I have a big problem with tone, right? And so the person I bicker the most with is my brother Harry, right? We don't really fight, but we bicker. And it's just because he'll say something. Not the words he says, not anything. It's just the tone he uses. Any tone people out there, right? Any tone people? All right, the rest of y'all tone deaf, all right? But I really pay attention to tone. So just be the way. And this tone can just set me off sometimes. Because I'm irritable sometimes, right? But that's the old man. That's not Grayson. That's not who Grayson really is. Grayson is not irritable. Grayson is the new man. Grayson is love. And it keeps no record of being wronged. Man, it's not compiling a little list. Well, they did this, they did that. Right? And then look at this. We take our list of being wronged. What do? Then we use that to justify our lack of living like Christ. Let me say that again. Kathy Lewis right there. She's married to Sean Lewis. Sean Lewis can be doing something this, that, and the other all day, right? Kathy can be writing all those things down, keeping track of them in her head. And Kathy can use that list of things that Sean is doing as an excuse to live short of what Christ has called her to live. How many times do we do that, people? Kathy, why are you doing that? Jeez, I thought you were a Christ-like woman. No, but if we're love, then we have no excuse to be short of Christ. We have no excuse, right? It gets better, guys. Oh, man. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. You know, when you want to get your own way, when you're selfish and everything, you don't want justice. You rejoice in injustice, don't you? You're like, yeah, serves you right. That's what you get. You know what I mean? Anybody? Yeah, I feel that way sometimes. But love doesn't do that. Love does not respond that way. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So if your love has fallen short sometimes, if you feel like you don't love people some days, that's not love. Because love endures through every circumstance. Right? It does. It does. There's nothing that can cause love to fail. Because you can't hurt me if I love you, right? If I'm in love with you, then there's nothing you can do because I'm not living for myself. I'm selfless. So the old man, we're going to call that selfishness. New man, love. Old man, way of this world. New man, Jesus. You have to put off the old man. Put off that former way of doing things and pick up the new man. Identify as the new man. If you've had anger problems your whole life, if you've had, you know, different stuff, don't use that as an excuse to live angry. Put off the old man. Identify as love, and you'll see things change. So, what we're going to talk about now is point number three. We've had 2 points up to this point, but point number three is, how do we do this? Practically, how do we live out this new man?
I think the key is found in at the end of the Colossians 3 that we read earlier. He says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. See, what happens is when you call on the name of Jesus, you are transformed in an instant. Your spirit goes from death to life, from old to new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So, why don't our behaviors change immediately? Why do we still have a glimpse of the old man where Kathy Lewis is keeping a record of Sean's wrongs? And Sean is irritable because of it. Why do these behaviors... Thanks for letting us pick on you as examples. I know that's not what happens in your house because your house is a home of peace and love and where the new man presides. And so, why do we still see glimpses of the old man, of the old behavior? Because we have a soul. And our soul isn't immediately transformed when we become saved. Our spirit's made new, but our soul still has some old ways of thinking. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. So he says, put on your new nature and be renewed. As what? As you learn to know your Creator, to become intimately in fellowship with Him and become like Him. So, how do you do that? First of all, you can't will yourself into being a better person. At some point, your will is going to fail you. You can't will your way into behaving a certain way. You have to change your belief before you change your behavior.
Yeah, I'd say along that line. At our house, we do a lot of stupid stuff sometimes, but one of the big things that we always do is we have these things called crackdowns. You guys have anything at your house like this? It usually has to do with eating and our diet, right? We always have a name for whatever diet program we're doing. Well, I personally have had the manifesto, the cleanse, the crackdown, right? These things that describe like the problem, right? I'm going to suddenly fix everything and everything's going to be better. But who knows that willpower is really difficult? I don't know. Some people seem like they really excel at willpower, like excellent at self-discipline. They got it all together. But willpower does not seem to be my strength. It doesn't seem to be my strength. But let me tell you something. This whole putting on the new man thing is not a willpower issue. It's not about your willpower, about your ability to stay disciplined. It's not about that stuff at all. It's about being renewed in your mind. I want to read a passage to you from Colossians 2. Verse 20, it says this: you have died with Christ. Who is you? That's the old man. Maybe some of you need to realize that today, that the old man really did die and stop giving an excuse to live around, because it's dead. You have died with Christ, and He has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? What do we do so many times? We want to fix things. We want to make things right. Okay, I'm working up the energy. Yeah, there's a problem. I'm going to fix it, right? All right, I'm eating badly. The cleanse, it's coming in. What's it going to do? Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. Don't even get near it, Grayson. What happens, though? 3 weeks later, and it's midnight, and I'm eating a lot of ice cream. How'd that happen? Why? Because willpower will fail you. Willpower will fail you. Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise. They may seem good. They may seem like the thing you're supposed to be doing because they require a strong devotion. They make you feel good, right? It's like, oh yeah, I'm really doing it. Pious self-denial and severe bodily discipline. But they provide no hope in conquering a person's evil desires. So what does it say? You can deal with the problem over and over and over, but you got to deal with the heart of the matter. You have to renew your mind. And that's what we're going to end tonight with. It's talking about this process right here. And it's tapping into the grace of God for God to renew your desires, to renew what you're living for. As you know God, you will know His grace. And as you know the grace of God, you'll begin to live free, where you won't even want to do the stuff of the old man. And I know that may sound like ridiculous and kind of hard and kind of out there, but the Bible promises us this. And we can go to Philippians 2, verse 13 real quick. And it says this, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." Let me read that again. "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." And this verse is all about the grace of God. This is God's grace in your life. What does it do? Does it give you the power to have a bunch of self-control? Does it give you the power to, you know, really fight off the flesh? No. The grace of God kills the flesh. The grace of God changes your desires. It changes the heart of the problem. It removes that stuff so it's not even an issue for you any longer. That's what the grace of God does. And my brother says this, and I love this saying. He says, as Christians, it's great. You know, how many people in the world, they go to a job they hate, they go through day after day. They go to schools they don't like. They have to talk to people. Da, 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 right? You can go a lot of stuff, right? But as Christians, we're people who get to do what we love. We get to do what we love. Now, people look at Christianity. They think it's a bunch of rules. They think it's a bunch of religion. They think this, that, and the other. But I can live free from sin and it not be like a big burden on my life. I cannot go and get drunk every night and not have to feel like, oh, I'm missing out on something. Why? Because God works in my heart to change my desires, and then He gives me the ability to act on my new desires, the things that I actually like to do, and live them out. He changes what I love, and then He gives me the ability to do it. So we're people who get to love what we do, you know? He changes what we're living for. He changes our purpose, our motivation. And if you know God, if you get intimate with Him, if you renew your mind to the Word, then you'll see this process begin to happen in you. You'll begin to tap into the grace of God. And what will happen? The things you used to live for, the desires you used to have, as you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you new desires for your heart. He'll give you the things you should be desiring. He'll give you the things you should be living for. And then, not only that, He'll give you the ability where you can't do it, you can never do it, He'll give you the ability to live it out. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? You got anything like that?
Definitely really good. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you because we've blasted you with information and we've inspired you, and Grayson shared some of his dirty laundry about his irritability. Yes, we'll pray for him for that. And then we're going to get into some small groups. So if you came with a family, you know, parents, kids, husbands, wives, that sort of thing, you'll get with them. If you came with a friend or if you're single, then you guys will all partner up together. And we'll talk about these things because it's not just about changing your home, but it's about changing you on the inside. Remember that? Let me pray for us. Father, I thank You that as we have heard Your word, as we've been challenged by Your word about demolishing the old man and putting on the new man, that we would take these things to heart, that we would change our heart and therefore would change our habits. We would renew our mind and therefore change our behavior as we come to know You and we become more like You. We thank You for the power, the desire to do what You will, and the power to carry it out. Father, I pray for our conversations tonight, that You would give us each words to say. Help us respond in truth and to share our hearts with one another. Thank You for changing us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.